Amen. All right, you guys are dismissed. Now let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. From verse 18, 19, and 20. Let's read this. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just give this word to you, God, and we ask, Lord, that you would empower it, Father. God, I just humble myself, Lord, and I'm just crying out for your mercy today, God, Lord, during this time. And we ask, Lord, that you would speak clearly to us, Father God, and change us in some way, God. Make us more like your Son, Jesus. And as we look at fellowship, God, as we look at what your church is all about, Lord, I pray that you'd give us, Lord, and grant to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, God. Lord, let us go beyond our minds, God, and let us understand with our spirit, Father. We thank you so much. Holy Spirit, come and release your revelatory ministry in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to us today. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I should take a step back. We went to the YOM conference yesterday. It was really good, man. It was everyone that went was really blessed. And he basically talked the whole day on the nature and character of God and shared a lot of testimonies. And, I mean, it was just so incredible. And I actually almost didn't make it today. I've been sick all week. And when we're on the subway going home, you know, I was just praying. I was like, God, I don't know if I can make it today. So I was thinking, who can take my place preaching? And I thought, Ginny can. You know, and so I asked her. And she must have been praying for me all night last night because I made it okay. And she had that look, no, please. Well, I think I asked Giant, not really seriously, but I was kind of like, Giant, what do you think? And, you know, she had this look of horror on her face and things. So, but thank you for everyone's prayers. I do feel much better. The medication is actually working, so it's good. Well, going to this text here. You know, is it possible in our lives, and it is possible, that because we have such a limited understanding of things in our life, that we don't benefit fully from something? Have you ever gone this? You know, like for me, I'm not that computer savvy, right? And so I know that my computer can do a lot of good things, you know, but I can only do these little things, right? And so whenever I have problems, of course, I ask Tom to come over. You know, I used to call Charles all the time, right? Charles Cho, and say, hey, man, you know, what's the deal with all this stuff? And so I do, if I could give one example, I do remember one time that I am a sports fan, right? And so I was very ticked at cable because they got rid of ESPN and Star Sports, right? But I riled about this before. But there was a time when I would watch the sports programming in Cantonese, you know? And so all I would remember is I'd watch the Laker game and I hear, oh, Foxy, you know, point and shoot, you know? And, you know, talking about Rick Fox, right? Just, you know, he just made a shot and stuff. And, like, you know, I couldn't really understand what they're saying. I could just understand a couple things here and there. And then one day, Stevie came over, and we're watching the playoff game, and we're just going through, and we're listening to it in Cantonese. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, what? You know, this is how it's, and I've done this for a year and a half while I've been in Hong Kong. You know, every sporting event, all in Cantonese. I had no idea. And he goes, let me see your remote. So he grabs my remote, he makes two adjustments, and all of a sudden, it's in English. And I was like, whoa, I think I hugged him afterwards, but I was so happy. And I was like, every time I think of Stevie, I think about that once in a while. He saved my life, you know, I could actually understand, you know. And, you know, we do this a lot, right? Because we don't fully understand or fully comprehend things, we don't get the most out of it, you know. And for the longest time, you know, like I used to beg my wife, you know, honey, can we buy like a nicer TV? You know, so we can get NICAM, you know, and because then, you know, you can get the dual languages and stuff. But Stevie was telling me, you know, it's actually not in the TV, it's in the cable box. And I've had that cable box for a year and a half. You know, and it's just one click of a button, you know, but I just do not benefit whatsoever from the box or, you know, the capability that it had because I didn't know how to use it, right? I didn't know what it was for, you know, and I say this in relation because a lot of times church is like that. And a lot of times we don't benefit fully from church and we don't benefit fully from each other in this body because we don't, one part, we don't know how it works. You know, we didn't know, you know, not necessarily, you know, you have to know the buttons to push or these kind of things, but we were just clueless, you know, in how we are supposed to be a community, you know, how we were supposed to act like a church, you know. And, I mean, a lot of it, if you think about it, you know, it's not really, it's not entirely our fault, you know. I mean, us meaning our lack of understanding of the church, because the church all throughout history has done a horrible job of representing themselves and representing God. I mean, isn't that true? You know, I mean, you know, most of us here are Koreans, you know, and we know in our Korean churches, right, we have an incredibly horrible history of church splits. You know, can I just take a quick poll here, right, and stuff? And if you're not Korean, you can answer too. Maybe how many of you guys have ever gone to a church or been to a church that either split or is split? You know what I mean? Like you either went to the church that split or your church split at some time. Anyone? See, look at this, man. Right? I mean, it's just uncanny, you know? And the church has done such a horrible job of representing themselves in this way. You know, I come from L.A., right? And so I'm actually a little outside of L.A., but L.A. is famous for their churches and their problems that they've been having. You know, I can remember, you know, actually my parents' home church, you know, elders would come to board meetings packing heat. You know, I mean, they would carry guns with them, believe it or not, you know, and stuff. Just in case, what, you don't like what I said? You know, it's like, I think they've been watching too much Dirty Harry or something, right? And so, but it's kind of like, unfortunately, we grew up that way. And if you ever have done any kind of evangelism or something, you'll invariably find people that tell you, well, I don't go to church. And you ask, why? Because they're a bunch of hypocrites, you know, because they're this and that. And on some levels, it's kind of true, you know, because a church overall. And so it's greatly misunderstood in this way. You know, you have, you know, denominationalism. You know, you have all different kinds of sects, you know, S-E-C-T-S, okay, not S-E-X, so, right, sects, just different divisions in the church, right? You know, and, you know, as a result of that, it's made things in life, you know, I mean, it's become very difficult, you know what I mean? Like, even myself, I have to be careful because there's a part of the church, if I be real, I really don't like. You know, like, I'll fellowship with these guys and stuff, but, like, if I were going to choose friends, I wouldn't pick these guys to be my friends. You know, they happen to come from a certain seminary, right? And things, and I mean, that's my bad, right? I mean, God needs to change my heart and whatnot. I won't say the seminary's name. But, you know, these kinds of things that happen, and, you know, I mean, you wonder. You know, one thing about SP that I recognize is some of you guys are coming back to church, you know, and maybe you haven't gone in a long time and now you're starting to come back. And a lot of the reasons why you stopped going to church, you know, because I talk to you guys all the time, you know, it's like, yeah, I just couldn't stand the gossip, you know, people talking behind my back and talking behind my parents' back. And I couldn't stand the hypocrisy and on. And because we understand this in firsthand experience. Right, we know this in first person because we've gone through it in our own lives, and it's quite sad. But that doesn't mean that it's all bad either. Do you know what I mean? And God, you know, put something on this earth, you know, meaning the church, you know, and He, I mean, in His eyes, it's beautiful. You know, for me, I've never really had a negative experience with church. I'll just be really honest. Right, most of my experience has been very, very positive, and so I think I'm very optimistic. My nature, personally, is optimistic. Right, my friends, my, you know, pastors, they always call me the eternal optimist, and so that's just in my nature. But I never really had any negative problems, and you know, and then when I did hear, you know, these things, you know, for me, I was like, come on, dude, just, you know, just get over it, man, right? Just move on with your life and, you know, don't worry about it so much. And I'm sure it's an isolated incident. But, you know, when you hear it over and over and over again as a pastor, you realize, whoa, yeah, maybe the church is jacked up a little bit. You know, but that doesn't take away from the fact, right? Because, I mean, if you think about it, the church, every single one of us, we're not perfect. You know that, right? But you know what we are? We're forgiven. That's probably all that we are, right? We're just forgiven people, you know, and that's really what early after here, right? In the Church of Jesus Christ, it's so misunderstood, you know, and as a result, you know, most of us, we're not really benefiting from one of God's greatest blessings that He gives to us. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ is an incredible gift to this world. I mean, it really is. You know, there was a point in history where the church dictated what was happening in the world, right? It was the church that you know, that was a forerunner to the anti-slavery movement, right? The church was a forerunner to the women's suffrage movement, you know, to women's movement in general. And it was a church, it was, you know, preachers, you know, D.L. Moody, it was Spurgeon, right? It was Charles Finney, you know, it was Wesley, and, you know, it was all these guys in Whitfield, you know, and out of their preaching, you know, and out of the conviction that God had put on their heart, it dictated, you know, society. And now there's been a total reversal because, in essence, we've kind of lost our credibility, you know, but God has blessed this world with His church. You know, God has blessed each of us with one another, right? Why don't you turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. God has blessed me with you. Look at him in the eye, right? This could actually be a very intimate moment here, right? Not in the way that you, okay, not in that way, but it could be, right? So, hey, good looking man, God has blessed me with you. You know, and think about this. All the blessings that we experience in this life, right, they're ultimately undeserved. We agree with that, right? In other words, we say they're all of grace, okay? But are there any special means, right, that God uses to give additional grace to us? And are there things that happen in our life that we can get more grace? And initially, when you first think about this, or whenever I hear people, like, tampering with grace, you know, because, you know, Paul said grace, right, is sufficient for me. Right? In other words, grace is sufficient. But also in James chapter 4, verse 6, right, James seems to tell us that he also gives us a greater grace. In other words, grace is sufficient, but God can give us even more grace. I mean, how many of you would like to have more grace? Obviously, right? I mean, we can have more grace. Grace is sufficient for us, but we can also have more grace. So he tells us, right, God opposes the proud and he gives grace to the humble. And so if you humble yourself, all right, then he says you'll be opened up for even more grace in our life. You know, and so, and the fellowship of the church, because we're talking about the church here, it tells us here, right, that there are certain means, activities, ceremonies, functions, etc., that God uses to give more grace to us. Right? And so you ask the question, are there certain means through which the Holy Spirit works to convey blessings into the life of the believer? Turn to Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to use Acts chapter 2, verse 42 as a backdrop. And it says, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Right? So they're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to breaking of bread. Breaking of bread, in other words, would be worship, right? And also to prayer and to fellowship. Now, I was going to do a very long thing, but I think I'm just going to just focus on one thing today to make sure you get something, right? First and foremost, the church is a place of belonging, right? The church has to be a place of belonging. And you have to think about this. God does not sporadically add people to the church. Do you know what I mean? You know, God's not in heaven saying, okay, Jerry, you go to church A, you go to church B, you go to church C. You know, he's not a random God. Do you know what I mean? Like, when God operates, he specifically places people in specific situations. And so when God looks out from heaven and he looks at each one of you individually, you know, he doesn't just, you know, sporadically say, oh, let me see you. Oh, I want you over there. That sounds good. You know, you live in mid-level. Oh, why don't you go to that church over there, you know? Like, he's not motivated by circumstance. You understand that about God, right? And so when God places you in a church, right, when God's mentality or God's economy is, all right, here's this person's specific gift, right? Here's the way I've wired this person. Here's the way this person thinks, right? Here's the way this happens. I'm going to place him in this body of Christ. That's how God operates. Right? If you don't understand, let's turn to Psalm 139. This is my backup. Psalm 139, from verse 13 through 16. It's a beautiful verse, passage, actually. From verse 13 it says, "For thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, as yet there was not one of them." Right? Do you see how specific God was when he created us? Right? I mean, even, you know, I mean, I've got to understand right now that God knows exactly what my baby is going to look like, right? I'm trying to get some ideas, you know, and if I'm really honest, I'm praying that it looks more like my wife than it does me, especially if it's a girl, right? If it was, man, if I mean, one ugly girl, I'd be in big trouble, man, and stuff. So, you know, and he, I mean, he's forming, you know what I mean? He's got it all together. He's, you know, he's whispering, you know, into that child. I mean, he's so specific in what he does. And so in terms of the church, which is his most important venture here on this earth, right, because it's a collection of us, he's not just, you know, just kind of randomly picking out, randomly doing this, randomly doing that, right? God, he doesn't operate that way. And when he chooses you to be in this place, right, he uses your gifts, your abilities, right, your life experiences, and he puts you in a place with other journeyers, right? Other sojourners in that way, you know, that you can grow and that you can be stretched. You know, all to say that it is not a mistake that you are here today. Can I say that again? It is not a mistake that you're here today. Now, some of you maybe just be visiting, right? It's not a mistake that you're here today. You know, and if this is a place that you know, that God speaks to you about and you choose this place, you know, it'll be one of the best decisions that you make in your life. Not necessarily because it's church, because you commit yourself to one place. And it's really important. You know, one of my pet peeves is, as a pastor, can I be really honest? Right? One of my pet peeves is people choose churches, you know, based on circumstance and not on the voice of God. Do you guys understand what I mean by that? You know, they choose the church because, oh, the pastor's messages are pretty good. You know, they choose a church because, oh, yeah, the worship team, those guys are all right. You know, like, this is pretty decent. You know, or choose a church because they got nice carpet, you know, or things like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so random. They choose a church because it's all a five-minute walk from my house. You know, they choose a church for these reasons, and no wonder they're not committed to the church at all. And no wonder they're not really committed in their heart of hearts. You know, we choose a church because God tells us to. Do you know what I mean? You know, you don't choose a church out of convenience or these things. We're going to blow it if we do that. You know, we choose a church because it's the voice of God. You know, and instead of, you know, thinking about, you know, the music style or, you know, using all these other criterias, you know, using the right criteria, which is what is God saying to you and where does he want you to be? You know, I told this story before, but one of the ways I really came to understand that Lisa was a real godly woman, you know, is when our church, unfortunately, you know, our church was going through a little bit of a church split, you know, and our English ministry kind of like was moving out of the Korean church. This is years ago, and we planted a new church. And a lot of people, I mean, they had grown up 18 years in this church, you know, and it was a good church. And all of a sudden they had to make a decision. Are you going to the new place or are you going to stay back home, you know? And, you know, everyone's, you know, and we had this one huge meeting one day. And everyone's all like, yeah, you know, yeah, Pastor Keith's messages are a lot better. I'll go over there, you know, or like, oh, yeah, I like meeting in the hotel, right? So I'll move over there. Or, you know, I don't like meeting in a hotel, so I'll stay here. You know, and it's all these kind of, you know, arbitrary kind of reasons why they're going or why they're staying. You know, and I remember, you know, some of the leaders asked Lisa. Lisa was, you know, in this meeting, asked Lisa, Lisa, you know, where are you going? Are you going? Are you staying? You know, what's going on? You know, and my wife, the only one, she wasn't actually my wife then. I was just kind of admiring her from afar at that point. You know, but in that time, right, they asked, what are you doing? She says, you know, God spoke to me, and I'm supposed to go to this new church. You know, and after she said that, I think it humbled everybody in the room. Because everyone else was all about, yeah, the sermons are better over there. Oh, you know, oh, yeah, you know, the ambiance is a little better. Oh, yeah, the worship team is a little better. You know, and there's all these criteria. And see, I mean, there's nothing, I mean, of course, you want your pastor to be able to preach something decent, right? And of course, you know, you don't want your singers to be off key and, you know, like distracting you, you know, of course, right? And, you know, you don't want a carpet that's all jacked up, you know. Trust me, I went to this one church in North Carolina, right? And I was preaching at this church, this American church. My friend was pastoring there, you know, it's quite a large church. They had the ugliest carpet I've ever seen in my life. It was puke green, shag carpet from the 70s. And I swear, if you took your hand and you rubbed it through, you could pick out all kinds of stuff, man. It was so disgusting. And, like, they only had, like, four elders, and three of them were really old school, like, old, like, redneck, you know. And they didn't want to change the carpet. And people would actually leave church because of the carpet, right? Because it was just so, you know. And so, actually, I got up to preach, and I just said, dude, just change the carpet, man. You know, like, what's the big deal? You know, and you know what happened? 2 months later, they changed the carpet, right? I guess preaching actually works, you know, in those places. But, you know, and obviously we don't, I mean, our carpet's not that bad. It's a little dirty, but, you know what I mean? And you want comfortable chairs. That's why we had to fight to get these chairs, right? Because, you know, I know myself, right? I know I speak for a long time. So my people need to be comfortable, right? Right? We can't do the hard chairs, man, or else, you know, you guys would be dying in your seat while I keep rattling off forever and things. So, but, yeah, right. I mean, those things really are really not that important. What's important is, where has God called you to? You know, I mean, where has God spoken to you about? You know, it's not these other criteria. That stuff doesn't really matter. It really doesn't. You know, like, you know, even in Hong Kong, just looking in the newspaper, there's so many English-speaking churches. I'm sure many of them are really, really good. You know, I've been to a couple services. I really enjoyed it myself. You know, there's many, many places that you can go to. You know, we can just keep skipping along here and there, or we can, you know, really begin to get involved and really impact and do something, because it's important to get involved. I mean, it really is. It's really important to get involved. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Look what the writer here tells us. He says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Right? It's important to get involved. Right? It's important to not forsake of us getting together and meeting together. You know, it's important for each one of us to be in relationship with one another. You know, there's something about fellowship. You know, the fellowship of believers, ordinary friendship and affection will grow. You know, and in Jesus' injunction for us to love one another will be fulfilled, right? John 15:12. As we care for another, you know, last week we talked about bearing each other's burdens, right? And as we bear one another's burdens, right, we will fulfill the law of Christ. Right? There's something about that. Think about this. The call of the church. Now, listen very carefully. There are no isolated Christians. Did you guys hear me? There are no isolated Christians. All are interrelated to one another. The word church that we read in Matthew is a Greek word called ekklesia. We get the word, the Old Testament book Ecclesiastes, and ekklesia means a called out assembly or a collection. And so Ecclesiastes is a collection of wise sayings, okay? And so ekklesia literally means ekklesia, right? Out together, right? And You know, some of you guys that went to Dean Sherman's seminar, we understand, and he brought more meaning to this. He's talking about it's a governmental word, right? It was a word for parliament. Well, it was a called-out group. It was a group that was called out from within a large group, called out to make decisions, right? Called out to rule, in essence, right? This is ecclesia, you know? And these were decision-makers. They weren't spectators. In other words, they were involved in things that were happening, you know? And if you think about this, God called Israel out of Egypt, right? They were the ecclesia out of Egypt and congregated in the wilderness. They were the church in the wilderness. In the same way, today God calls the saved out of the world, right, to congregate in worship. And what we have now, it's the church in the world, in it, but not of it, right? This is the ecclesia that's happening here. You know, one of the greatest mistakes that we'll make as a Christian is that we'll feel like we don't need anybody else. You know, we focus so much on a personal relationship with God, right? It's personal. It's just me and God. You know, that's not entirely true. In fact, you know, yesterday at the seminar, we learned that, I mean, can any of you define what personal means? Don't say anything, you guys that were there, right? Can any of you define, you know, we say that you need to have a personal relationship with God. What does that really mean? You know, we seem to think it's one-on-one. But that's not necessarily what it means. What does personal relationship mean? Right? Well, the speaker yesterday was telling us that personal is from a person, which meaning that you can have you can have a relationship with God as a person because He's a person. And so when we talk about personal relationship with God, we're not talking about us in terms of a one-on-one thing. We're saying that we can have a relationship because God is a person. Right? That kind of totally rocked my world, actually, when I was listening to this and things. And so we have to begin to really recognize this, right? Now, listen very carefully. The Christian faith is lived out personally with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But the Christian life is lived out through the church. Did you guys hear that? The Christian faith is lived out personally with the Father, Son, and the Spirit. But the Christian life is lived out through the church. Right, we can have faith, right, in God because we have faith in God, but our Christian life is lived out through the church, and it's always been that way. You know, Martin Luther even said that you cannot have God as your father and do not have the church as your mother. You know, one of the greatest mistakes that we can make, right, is just believing that I don't need anybody else. You know, Kiwan actually spent the night last couple of days. Did me a favor, right? I was so lonely, but so we hung out, and when was that? Was it Friday night? We came back from our discipleship, and we watched About a Boy. Have you seen that? You know, Hugh Grant. It's kind of a funny movie, right? But there was just one line in there they kept saying over and over again, right? What is it? No man is an island, you know? And it's so true, right? You know, we are not our own islands. We're just not, you know, ourselves. And things, and we need each other, you know. And see, this is why, some people get kind of shocked when I say this, but I encourage people to go out with one another, right? And even in church, I encourage people to date, because I know that when people date, man, good stuff is bound to happen. You know what I mean? And not just in terms of they'll get married and those kind of things, but there's always something in relationship that triggers things inside of our hearts, right? You will never know what kind of issues you have unless you rub shoulders with somebody. You know what I mean? Like before I was dating Lisa, I thought I was a pretty good guy. And so I started dating her and I realized I'm a butthead, man, right? But I would have never known unless I was actually in a relationship, you know, and iron was sharpening iron in that way. But, you know, sometimes you just never know, right? You know, when you're all by yourself, you know, you have no one else to, not necessarily because you want people to judge you, but you have no one else to give you a real assessment of what's going on in your life. But then when you're in relationship with someone, and it doesn't have to be boyfriend or girlfriend, but it's just in relationships in general, you learn so much. And I know that whenever people get together and there is relationship going on, I know growth is bound to happen. I know it is just bound to happen because that's what happens in relationships. That's what happens when people hang out together. You know, I know that if brothers got together and just started hanging out, they're just going to start growing. You know, sisters start hanging out, praying together like they've been doing, they're just going to start growing. You know, it's just this incredible natural phenomena that occurs in that way. You know, the fellowship of believers with one another as a means of grace is crucial. You know, another thing that this does in our lives, it also eases the focus of the clergy as the primary dispensers of grace within the church. All right, Pastor Sam, what the heck did you just say? Right? And what I'm basically saying is, when you guys hang out with each other, as you're ministering to one another, it lessens, you know, kind of not necessarily responsibility, because I always feel the responsibility, but I don't have to be the only one doing stuff. Do you know what I mean? You know, like, I think about, you know, just in conversations we had, I think about, like, you know, Mike and Sean and some other guys, and Jungmin started an accountability group. You know, and so they've been really ministering to Jungmin, right? I think everyone's been ministering to Jungmin, but that's a whole other thing. You don't have to translate that, man. It's okay, right? What's up, man? Close the door, man. Close that door. Right? And stuff. And so, but what they're doing is they're dispensing truth and grace to Jungmin. You know, when you're together, when you're hanging out and you're helping each other, you're dispensing truth and grace to one another. Right? That's church, man. You know what I mean? That's community. You know, if I'm in need, you know, I mean, I felt, you know, yesterday, you know, I mean, I was really sick yesterday. I had a really high fever and stuff. And, you know, but I was glad I was around a lot of people. Do you know what I mean? And stuff. You know, I'm a guy. You know, like most guys, when we're sick, they're just big babies, right? So I like people coming up to me and says, "Are you okay, Pastor Sam?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm okay." You know, I'm doing my best, you know. I mean, you know, come on, it's just honestly, right? I just enjoy, you know, like, I have people coming all the time, people giving me medicine and stuff. And even today, you know, I actually got some medicine last night, but, you know, Angela bought me some more medicine, you know, this morning. And I was like, that's kind of nice, right? I mean, if I was home by myself, dude, I'd be so miserable. You know, I'd be probably crying for my mom or something, right? Or, you know, but it's, I mean, there's something about the body of Christ. You know, that I mean, we can help each other, you know, and the amazing thing is, like, when we hang out together as a church, you know, and not just in church, but even outside the church, we're doing something spiritual, you know, we can encourage each other, we can exhort each other, something can happen in our lives, just merely by the fact that we're coming together, right? I mean, that's what, you know, the scripture is called koinonia. Right? There's just something about that, right? A measure of God's grace is experienced when Christians talk together, when they eat together, right? When they have time of work and play together, when they're enjoying another's fellowship. There's just something supernatural that happens. I can't explain it. You know what I mean? But I know that when I'm in a crowd, you know, of you know, people that are not, you know, I saw it, right? They're not believers. You know, and I get out of that crowd, and sometimes, I mean, I don't really feel that great. You know what I mean? I'm just being honest. You know, it doesn't mean that I just shun the world away, right? I'm not that kind of person, you know, and things, but I just don't feel, you know, but when I'm with my brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, and it doesn't matter if I know them or not, you know, but there's just something supernatural that occurs. And I just can't explain it. You know, yesterday, after the seminar, a bunch of us went out to eat, you know, and it just felt good being together. You know, it just felt right. And I felt like, man, this is the church. You know, this is what it's supposed to be like. You know, of us being able to share our hearts with one another. And just the simple fact that we come together, God moves. And God is pleased. You know, and that's why the Hebrews, right? He says, man, don't forsake your own assembling together. Right? Don't forsake it, right? Cherish these times. And I'm not just talking about church. I'm not just talking about coming on Sunday. You know, but cherish the fellowship that you have with one another. Right? There's something special and significant about these things. You know, we call this those times kind of like good, clean fun, right? You know, and we can make the incredible mistake. Trust me, a lot of people make that mistake. You know, incredible mistake of just thinking we don't need anybody. You know, I just need to come to church on Sunday, just listen to the message. I don't need anyone. You know, I don't need this. I don't need that. You know, I don't need Bible study. I don't need, you know, like, because it's my personal relationship with God. You know, and I just think, man, you know, if that's the mentality, there's not going to be any growth. Right? It's just not going to be any growth. You know, and I'm sure if you've noticed, you know, what's the first thing that happens, right? Have you noticed the first thing that happens when people start backsliding? What happens? They just start withdrawing. You know what I mean? You know, that 1 week, 2 week, and then next thing you know, I haven't seen anyone in 3-4 months. And things, so why? That's what the enemy wants to do. He just wants to withdraw you from that place. But it's the fellowship, right? It's the meeting together that is going to strengthen each of us, right? To fight this good fight of faith. You know, and we kind of have to really keep alongside of that, right? It's a place of belonging. The place of belonging also means that you make room for other people to belong to as well, right? This is what we call evangelism, right? And evangelism, right, is simply, it's a means of grace, not only in the sense that it ministers saving grace to the unsaved, but also to those who evangelize experience more of the Holy Spirit's presence and blessing in their own lives. Right? So not only are you dispensing grace and truth, but you receive from the Lord, right, when you're causing other people to belong. You know, and you know, I'll be very frank, very honest, right? You know, as a church, you know, we want this place to be a place of belonging. You know, I mean, my heart and many of our hearts here, we want people that come here, even for the first time or whatnot, feel like they belong. You know, it's been funny, you know, some people, you know, they've been here, you know, for like a week, I feel like I've known them for 10 years. It's just kind of uncanny, right? You know, and then, but some people have been here for 10 years, right? I mean, it's not, we've been here for, what, 2 years, right? But for a long time, I feel like, man, I don't know who this person is whatsoever. You know, and maybe an effort's not been put in there. You know, but this really is a place of belonging. You know, no one should feel ashamed to come to church, right? No one should feel bad or in any way, because, right, we're all sinners. We're all in the same place. The only difference is we're just all, every single one of us are forgiven, right? The church is a place of belonging. It's community. I told you I was going to go short today, right? When we close our eyes, because I want to practice this today. Now, I recognize that sometimes, you know, we're really shy. A lot of us don't know each other. Some of us are new. Some of us have been here for a long time. We still don't know each other. I wanted to spend a significant amount of time today getting to know one another and praying for each other. And this is what I want to do. I don't want you to go to someone that you already know, right? Oh yeah, people are giving me the look already. Right? What, Pastor Sam? It's okay, right? This was going to be fun, right? Because you don't know them, they don't know you, even better, right? And so I want to encourage you, you know, obviously if you don't want to, right? I'm, you know, I'm not a dictator, right? And things, so if you feel very uncomfortable, oh, no worries, man, right? Really, no worries. But I really want to encourage you to go sit next to someone, you know, kind of move around a little bit, kind of introduce yourself, you know, and just share prayer requests or, you know, just share what's going on. And I know this can be highly uncomfortable, but this is how friendships, and this is how, you know, possible marriages, I mean, who knows, right? Who knows? I don't know, man. I just threw that out there. I just felt like I had to break the ice, man. Everyone's like this. No one's looking up. Everyone's all tense and things. And obviously, it'd be nice if you went guy to guy, girl to girl. But I'm gonna switch twice, okay? And so you're gonna meet two new people today at church. Pretty exciting, eh? Everyone's still ticked at me. That's all right. And things. So I'm gonna ask you to go. Just find somebody. You know, and obviously if you know them a little bit, that's okay. If you don't know them that well, it's, you know. But find someone and just talk to them for a little bit. And then pray for each other. And then I'll say something like switch or something. And then you find somebody else. I know, don't you feel like we're at camp right now or something? All right? So once you do that, once you find someone, that you don't know that well, or no one's moving. Come on now. Say, it's really easy. You go like, hi, my name is. Just cut it off. I'm done. Hey, anyone not know Chris? Chris is looking for a partner, man.